three basic challenges to the ESV. Crossway Publishers continued their successful, dare we say, relentless marketing of the English Standard Version ESV Bible. Crossway editor Justin Taylor recently featured a new video in which various leaders explain, quote, why they trust and appreciate this translation. The ESV is, without doubt, the translation of choice among those whom Colin Hansen has described as the young, restless, and reformed. Here, however, are three basic challenges that might give one pause before jumping on the ESV bandwagon. Challenge number one, the ESV has a National Council of Churches copyright. If you turn in a copy of the ESV to the bottom of the copyright page, you will find this note, quote, "The Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV, is adapted from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, Copyright Division of Christian Education of the National Council of Churches of Christ in the USA, all rights reserved," end quote. The note, granted, is a bit ambiguous. Does it mean that the ultra-liberal National Council of Churches holds the copyright to the RSV upon which the ESV is based? Or does it mean that the National Council of Churches retains as well some rights to the ESV? What agreement did Crossway reach with the National Council of Churches in order to revise the RSV and create the ESV? Did they pay them a one-time fee? Or does the National Council of Churches receive ongoing royalties from sales of the ESV? On this point, Alan J. McGregor offers the following query in his book, Three Modern Versions, A Critical Assessment of the NIV, ESV, and NKJV, published by the Bible League in 2004. Quote, "Does this mean that every time a believer purchases an ESV Bible, he is financially supporting the National Council of Churches? That body denies most of the fundamental doctrines of the evangelical Reformed faith. There are still many professing evangelical and reform groups and publications, all enthusiastically encouraging us to buy and use this new version. The separation principles commanded in the scriptures and which our discerning forefathers solemnly held to seem to have been discarded and forgotten," end quote. Even if there is some contractual arrangement whereby the National Council of Churches received an upfront lump payment and does not receive ongoing royalties for individual ESV sales, there are other challenges that remain for the ESV. Challenge number two. The ESV is not, in fact, a new translation, but an evangelical revision of a notoriously liberal translation. A close inspection of the preface to the ESV is revealing. Though it claims to stand, quote, in the classic mainstream of English Bible translations, it is clear that the ESV actually issues from a far more liberal source. On one hand, the ESV wants to claim a place in the tradition of the classic English translations of the Protestant Reformation. But, on the other hand, it must admit that its roots are actually in later Protestant liberalism. Again, the preface captures the ESV's awkward stance. Quote, "The words and phrases themselves grow out of the Tyndale King James legacy, and, most recently, out of the RSV, with the 1971 RSV text providing the starting point for our work," end quote. So, in truth, the ESV's lineage is through the infamous English Revised Version of 1885, the American Standard Version of 1901, and the Revised Standard Version of 1952 and 1971. The old RSV was roundly condemned by evangelicals when it first appeared. The most criticized passage was Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, in which the RSV translated the Hebrew word alma as young woman rather than virgin. Conservatives, no doubt rightly, took this as a not-so-subtle undermining of the doctrine of the virginal conception of Christ. When the New Testament portion of the RSV was completed in 1946, Westminster Theological Seminary professor Oswald T. Allis wrote a stinging critique of the work titled Revision or New Translation, PNR 1948. Granted, the ESV has corrected passages like Isaiah 7:14, that is, it now reads virgin and not young woman. Still, the fact that the ESV springs from the RSV cannot be an irrelevant consideration. If one compares the ESV and RSV, he finds that the translations are very often in full agreement with one another. Some have suggested that despite corrections like that made with Isaiah 7:14, the ESV still retains some doctrinally questionable renderings from the RSV. Alan J. McGregor cites the following passages as examples: Micah 5:2, Isaiah 53:9, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 36 through 38, Philippians 2:6, 1 Timothy 1:12, Hebrews 13:24, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and Revelation 19:8. Let's take Micah 5:2 as an example. In the King James Version, it reads as follows: But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The RSV reads, But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. And the ESV reads, But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Note, the ESV follows the RSV in Micah 5:2 verbatim, except for the insertion of the word to, T-O-O. The doctrinal issue here would have to do with the change of the last prepositional phrase, from everlasting in the King James Version to from ancient days in both the RSV and the ESV. McGregor concludes, quote, The liberal rendering of the RSV is retained in full, so undermining the deity of Christ, reducing him to a created being who has a point of origin, end quote. There are other issues related to the ESV's general translation philosophy, which McGregor pinpoints. Despite the fact that it is championed by gender complementarians, McGregor says it appears that concession is sometimes made to the gender-neutral lobby in the ESV. Oddly enough, some of the old RSV's gender-specific renderings, composed before the ascendancy of academic feminism, are made gender neutral in the ESV. Here are three examples from the book of Romans. In Romans 2:28, the RSV translates, For he is not a real Jew. The ESV translates, For no one is a Jew. In Romans 3:4, the RSV translates, Let God be true, though every man be false. Whereas the ESV renders it, Let God be true, though every one were a liar. Romans 3:28, the RSV reads, For we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And the ESV renders it, For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Finally, despite its claim in the preface to be an essentially literal translation, the ESV often makes use of dynamic equivalent methods, as does the RSV. One example, cited by McGregor, is the rendering of the phrase in te palingenesia, literally in the regeneration, in Matthew 19:28, as in the new world in the ESV, although a note there provides the alternative literal rendering. Challenge number three. The ESV is based on the modern critical Greek text. The final challenge comes in the fact that the ESV is not based on the traditional texts of the scriptures that were used by the Protestant reformers in their vernacular translations. That is, the Masoretic texts of the Old Testament and the received texts of the New Testament. For the New Testament, most significantly, the ESV is based on the modern critical Greek text as found in the United Bible Society 4th edition and the Nestle-Aland 27th edition of the New Testament. This means that as one reads through the ESV, he will find translations based on texts that diverge from the Tyndale, Geneva, King James Version tradition. Examples. In Psalm 145, verse 13, the reader will find a bracketed half verse included in the text that the footnote explains, quote, is supplied by one Hebrew manuscript, Septuagint, Syriac, compare Dead Sea Scroll, end quote. Another example, the ending of Mark's Gospel, Mark 16:9-20, is included in the ESV in double brackets after an inserted note within the text which reads, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include 16:9-20. Another example, the Pericope Adulterae, John 7:53-8:11, likewise appears in double brackets with a similar introductory note inserted into the body of the text. Another example, Philip's confession in Acts 8:37 is removed from the text proper and relegated to a footnote. Though these departures from the traditional text ought to raise considerable alarm, the more fundamental worry is the basic fact that the ESV is based on the modern critical Greek text. This means that one day a new critical text will be introduced. It will be the United Bible Society 5th edition, Nestle-Aland 28th edition of the New Testament in Greek, and it will be published by the Secular Academy. This means that eventually there will also be, in all likelihood, a NESV, a New English Standard Version, or perhaps an RESV, a Revised English Standard Version, that will be placed on the Bible market. Who knows what decisions future editors of this Bible will make? Perhaps, for example, in future editions of the ESV, Mark 16:9-20, will be exiled to the footnotes. Translations joined to the modern academy must, of necessity, be unstable. Here, then, is a recap of the three basic challenges. Challenge number one, the ESV has a National Council of Churches copyright. Challenge number two, the ESV is, in fact, not a new translation, but an evangelical revision of a notoriously liberal translation. And challenge number three, the ESV is based on the modern critical Greek text, and therefore it's based on an unstable and a changing text. In conclusion, let's leave the final word to Alan J. McGregor. He says, quote, despite all the hype and glowing statements about the ESV, it fails to deliver on its promises. It is, in reality, nothing more than a very mild revision of a very liberal Bible version. While there are some pleasing improvements over the RSV, not all the changes are for the better. By using the RSV as their reference point, the translators have started in the wrong place. The leaven of liberalism is still there. The conclusion of the matter must be that it is weighed in the balances and found wanting. End quote.